glorifying and praising the name of Jesus, like, all the time. And it's, so this is just a rehearsal. This is just a bit of a taste, maybe a rough rehearsal, I suppose, compared to what it's going to be like in heaven when we are with Christ forever. Yeah, it's good. And yeah, let me start by saying that everything that we are attempting to do here is to bring glory to Christ. So whatever I say, whatever Stan says, whatever the worship team says, whatever all of us are doing here, we are doing it, attempting to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just read from the good book. Hebrews chapter 10, if you can get there before me. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another in love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Yeah. This is a good day. We're having a baptismal service, encouraging one another to continue meeting together. This is one part of the body of Christ. We are not the whole body of Christ. There's other believers. The Lord's church is moving throughout Alberta, not just here. So there's stuff going on. Let me just quickly introduce some of what's going on here and elsewhere. This coming weekend in Sylvan Lake, there's a men's conference. Chad, you got a bit to say about that? Look at the guy at the back there. He's holding up a flyer. So there's information that Chad has about this men's conference in Sylvan Lake this weekend. It's all about purity and getting pornography out of our lives. And so that's one thing. Chad, if you don't mind, can we just not do the video? There's a 3-minute video that is promoting that, but we'll skip it just in the interest of time here this morning. Tuesday, so for the girls, Wednesday, Kathy Rainville. See, Kathy, she's way at the back there. She's got the green sweater on. She's waving. She's giving us So she's got, talk to Kathy. She's got a thing coming up Wednesday mornings, 9 to 12 for girls. They're doing crafts and other things that Girls Talk do, I guess, probably just going blathering on about how great their husbands are, I suspect. That's what I would guess. Whatever else they do, I don't know. And then Thursday night, talking about meeting together and being encouraged Thursday night. Jody's got the men's group is going here Thursday night. They're doing the Truth Project. If praise God is right. That Truth Project is so good. That's Thursday nights here for men. What else am I supposed to be talking about? Lavina is in Kenya. She's seeking and asking for our prayers, our continued prayers. Pursuit Conference in Medicine Hat coming up this weekend. Some of you might remember this group that were here. Help me out. Yeah, Global Prayer House. Thank you. They've got a weekend going on in Medicine Hat this weekend. Teresa, where's Teresa? See Teresa waving her hand over there? She knows of a place, a suite for rent. So if somebody's looking for a suite for rent. Potluck today. No pot. No luck. Lots of Jesus, though. Potluck today after church. Okay, now here comes the best part. Baptism. There's going to be a baptism here today. And I tell you what, I like this. Today is November 11th. See if I can do this without getting weepy. November 11th, 1984. I went into the waters of baptism, and I gave my life to Christ. November 11th, 103 years ago. Baptism is a big deal. I suspect Stan's going to be saying a whole lot more about it. And yeah, I just ran out of gas. I was gonna go on and say more about baptism, but that's, I'll leave that up to Stan. Let's pray. God, thank you that you are here. Thank you that you draw us to you. You keep drawing us to you. You forgive us. You give us new life. You give us healing. You walk with us through tears and sorrow. God, you walk with us through loss and pain. You bring us joy. You bring us hope. God, you bring us life. You give us new life. You've forgiven us, and you have raised us in newness of life. God, thank you for what you have done in our lives in the past. Thank you for what you're doing here this morning. Thank you, God, that you won't leave us, you won't forsake us, and you'll be with us from here on forever. Thank you, God. Thank you for being so good to us. Bless Stan, God. I pray, Lord, that you would speak, that you would minister to each one of us. We're here this morning, God, and we need you in so many different ways, God. We're calling out to you, and we're here because we have faith that you will meet with us here, God. So thank you for that, God. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for seeing us and knowing us and walking with us. Thank you, God. Jesus, we pray.
Amen. You say, thank you, Lord. Man, there's a lot of things going on here today, and it's all kind of the undercurrent, and the grounding of it all is the joy and the worship and the praise that we bring into this place. And there's life here. You know, there's life because we bring Jesus with us. He lives inside of us. And so we bring that life, and we remind each other that there's hope. And even when we're going through hard times, or there's despair, or there's sickness, or you're out of work, or you're out of money, or whatever it is, God does not fail us. I love that one song that we sang today, that he's for me. He's not against me. And it's really important to remember that today. And Don's right. It's exciting when people get in the water, because it's a commitment. When you get in the water, you get baptized, it's a commitment. And what you're saying publicly is you're saying, I just want to belong to Jesus. I want to confess him, and I believe what he says is true, that when I confess him before men on earth, he's going to confess me before my Father who's in heaven. Amen? And give him a big hand. Thank you, Lord. And I just want you to know that I know there's about 5 people that have said they want to get baptized, but sometimes there's more. So it's possible today that God's leaning into you a little bit and saying, you know, you've never done this, and it's time for you to get baptized. Because you need to be washed as well. The water is a symbol of the washing of the blood of Jesus, washing away of our sins. And I got really good news for you. If it happens that God lays it on your heart today, I brought an extra set of clothes and you can wear them. So you won't leave here wet. There'll be a place to put these clothes on. So don't not do this because you're afraid to get wet. Of course, if there's more than one of you, you're going to get wet and you're going to have to go home wet. But that's okay. That's okay. Amen? So in a little while, I'm going to call the people who are going to be baptized to come forward, and some of them want to give a bit of their story or tell a little bit of their testimony. Some of them are afraid to do that, so we just keep praying for them. We're not here to twist anyone's arm. The act itself, when you get in the water, the act itself is a profession of your faith. You're saying to all the rest of us, just what we just sang to, I believe in God. I believe in God the Father. And I believe in Jesus Christ the Son. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, and I invite him into my life. Amen? Amen. Before we do that, I'm going to speak, hopefully not as long as usual, so probably 40 or 50 minutes. Some of you know that my father passed away on Monday. So I appreciate, you know, your prayers and your condolences, and it's been one of those weeks where, you know, we kind of expected this for a long time. But then my dad was doing quite well for the last few months, and you start to think, well, he's doing good, you know. Maybe, you know, he's 85 years old, maybe a few more years, you never know. But on Monday morning, and we got the phone call that dad was with Jesus. So that's good news, really. It's good news. There's the funeral home from Lethbridge, actually. They have their motto or whatever their statement is. It says, you know, if you've lost somebody, we can help. And we had a funeral service on Friday, and I said, you know, I appreciate so much what funeral homes do. I think they really provide a service, but I just got to be honest about this. I didn't lose anybody, all right? I didn't lose anybody. I know exactly where my dad is. He's not lost. He knew where he was going to be. He longed for the day when he would no longer need to suffer in this body. I did not lose anybody. My dad is with Jesus. So, yeah. Having said that, I don't get to phone him anymore. So that's a bit hard. And there's times this week I would have just wanted to call him, right? So there's still, you know, he's not lost, but I'm a little bit lost. And I do appreciate your prayers. We had a service in Lethbridge, and there's going to be another service for him. Only my dad would have two funerals. But he spent most of his life in Cranbrook, so we're going to be going to Cranbrook this week. And, yeah, your prayers are just really appreciated. Thank you for that. I want to, in that context, read Psalm 23 right now. When I go through these times, I find that, you know, this good old faithful psalm, this old favorite, really touches me. And I want to just speak a few words on this and a couple things from what John says in his gospel. But would you just listen to these words from Psalm 23, the very familiar words. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You know, that's a promise that God makes. And I think that for thousands of years, Christians and believers, people of the Jewish faith, you know, they would read this over and over again and find great comfort in it and be reminded of the faithfulness of God and be reminded that we have something so great to look forward to. One of the things that happens when we get baptized is that we understand that we belong. We belong to Jesus. We proclaim that out loud. I belong to him, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, forever and ever. For the last, I don't even know how long, you guys maybe know, like 2-3 months, I've been preaching about the Holy Spirit. I've been preaching about being led by the Holy Spirit and how important that is for the living church of Jesus Christ, for us to be led by the Spirit of God, to be open to the leading, to be listening to the Spirit, to go where he wants us to go. Sometimes we want the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, we do. We want the whole power of the Holy Spirit. We want to see this. We want to see this amazing thing. We want to see all the wonders and the signs. And we're all for that. We want to see that happen. But I believe that God's been saying to me that for you to see the power of God, for you to see my power, you need to understand my leading first. So if you will follow my leading, if you'll go where I tell you to go, if you'll follow me, then you're going to see power like you've never seen displayed before. But don't just look for the power, look for the leading. Listen and follow me. And one of the things that really struck me this week about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is like a shepherd. I want to spend a little time just talking about that today. We know that in the Old Testament, God the Father was considered the shepherd. And I could give you lots of scripture, but you're just going to have to believe me today, okay? In the Old Testament, well, obviously, we just read from Psalm 23. So the psalmist believed that God the Father, the Lord, Adonai, his name, that he was a shepherd. But there's other passages that talk about that, many passages actually in the Old Testament, in Isaiah and in Jeremiah, and in fact, all the way back into Genesis, when I believe it's Isaac prays to God his shepherd. He says, "You are my shepherd." God was recognized in the Old Testament. The Father was recognized as a shepherd. In the New Testament, Jesus proclaimed himself to be the shepherd, right? He says, "I am the good shepherd. My sheep know my name." I know their name. They know my voice, right? Jesus was the good shepherd. He took on that role in the New Testament, the same role that the Father had in the Old Testament. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I love my sheep. I am the gate for the sheep, and I am going to make sure that they find the way to eternal life," right? But this shepherd, the shepherd of Jesus, he had to lay down his life. So the shepherd in the New Testament, the good shepherd, had to become the sacrifice. He actually becomes the lamb, right? The shepherd is kind of an anomaly. Hi, Will. The shepherd becomes the lamb, and he gives his life so that we could have forgiveness of sins, so that his blood could cover all of our sins. So Jesus in the New Testament is a shepherd as well. And look at John 10, and you can read a number of different places where Jesus talks about himself being the shepherd. But one thing we don't talk about very often, at least I don't hear this very often, is that the Holy Spirit is a shepherd. That he takes on that same, he's part of the Godhead, right? He's part of the Godhead. He takes on that same role. And it's as a shepherd that the Spirit of God leads us. It's as a shepherd that he calls us to follow him. It's as a shepherd that he says, "I am going to direct your paths, and I'm going to guide you, and I'm going to teach you." There are so many ways that the Holy Spirit is described in the New Testament. And when we read those descriptions of the Holy Spirit, you know, they sound like a shepherd. The work that the Holy Spirit does is the work of shepherding. And I think it helps, maybe not you, but it helps me to understand the Holy Spirit better when I think of him as a shepherd. When I think of him as a shepherd. Let me just give you a couple of examples, and then I want to explain that just a little bit better. So John chapter 16. I think you have that up there, right? John chapter 16. Just look at the first verse in John chapter 16. And it says there, remember, by the way, just let me give you a little bit of context here. Remember that this is Jesus teaching about the Holy Spirit. The best teaching on the Holy Spirit is in John 14 and 15 and 16, and then more again in the book of Acts. But when Jesus is teaching about the Holy Spirit, and this is just before he dies on the cross, he says this, John 16, verse 1. "All this I have told you so that you will not go astray." And I just want you to stop there. Because that word astray is really a word that applies to sheep. Normally that would be a word, and it is used in the New Testament and other places too, that when sheep go wandering, they go astray. And that Jesus is really referring to his church and his people as sheep again when he says, "I just don't want you to go astray." And it's because I don't want you to go astray or to go off wandering, I am going to send you my Holy Spirit. And it just points to what I'm saying, that the Holy Spirit is a shepherd. He's a shepherd that doesn't want us to go astray. And now look at the very last part of John 16. So this would be John 16, verse 31. When after Jesus is taught about the Holy Spirit and what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit, and that the Spirit is your comforter and your peace and your teacher, finally the disciples seem to get it. Like the light goes on and they go, Whoa, all right, I think we understand now, Lord. We get it. And then Jesus says, you believe at last. You believe at last. And then he says this, but a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and you will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Again, I want you just to see that one word, the word scattered. It's another word that would be used not exclusively, but most of the time in shepherd terminology, right? Jesus says, I've told you this so that you will not be scattered. The time is coming when you will be scattered. I'm sorry, he says that. But he the reason why he says that is so that they eventually won't be scattered. So again, it's that shepherd motif. Are you following me here? He starts John 16. He ends John 16 with the theme of a shepherd. And that he sends his Holy Spirit so that when we are scattered, he's going to bring us back together again. That the Holy Spirit plays that role of a shepherd in our lives. You guys agreeing with that? Because if you're not, the rest of what I have to say, you're not going to agree with either. So I hope you do. So understanding this helps us to understand that when I'm being led by the Holy Spirit, that he leads me like a shepherd. He leads the way, first of all. Let's talk about that. There is a leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Do you believe that? The Holy Spirit knows where he wants you to be. The Holy Spirit knows where the best place for you to be, where that place is. And what he always does is he says, just like Jesus, just like the good shepherd, he says, come and follow me. Right? I said, come and follow me. Right? If you can stay closer, it would be better for you. Right? He says, come and follow me. The Holy Spirit never pushes us. He doesn't try to herd the flock. Because a good shepherd doesn't try to herd the flock. You know why? Because it don't work. Yeah, you can't herd cats, or you can't herd sheep. Sheep need to follow the shepherd. They need to know the shepherd's voice. Amanda, you sent me that video a couple months ago, a video of this shepherd, and he stands up by the fence and he goes, here sheep. Meanwhile, two other or three other people tried to call a sheep, they didn't come. The shepherd stands up, he goes, bah, sheep, 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 or however he does it. And they all start running towards him, right? That's what a good shepherd does. A shepherd leads the way. He doesn't push us. He doesn't force us. He doesn't try to drive the sheep. He doesn't do any of that stuff. What he does is he just says, I want you to follow the way I'm going, and I'll show you where you need to be. I'll show you where the green pastures are. I'll show you where the still waters are if you follow me. But I'm not going to make you come. If you resist me, you can resist me. You can turn your back on me. You can go find another pastor somewhere else all by yourself if you choose to do that. You need to follow me because I ask you to come. That's what the Holy Spirit really does in our lives. He says, I'm going to give you this opportunity to have an amazing life, but you need to follow me. If you decide to follow your friends, or if you decide to follow other ambitions, you will find out the pitfalls. You will be lost. Some of us know what that lost felt like, right? When God the Holy Spirit leads us, he says, you got a choice. Some people today are making the choice today. They're saying, I've decided to follow Jesus, and they're going to jump in that goofy-looking blue tub. But it's a choice that we make because the Holy Spirit speaks it into our hearts. He whispers it, and he says, are you going to come with me? I have such an exciting life for you. Man, if you'll just follow me, you're going to see things that you'll never see any other place. I'm going to give you life. I'm going to give you joy. It's going to be abundant. I'm going to give you gifts. It's going to flow from you. But you need to come. And one of the, if you believe that, if you agree with that, one of the implications of that is, and this is just sort of a practical thing, is that as believers or as followers, you should never feel coerced or pushed into anything. If you're starting to feel like, you know, Pastor Stan is making me do this, or someone's twisting my arm, that's not from God, and it's not from the Holy Spirit. And I take comfort in that, and I hope you do too, that if you're really going to be led by the Holy Spirit, then the Spirit is going to be the one who says, just come and follow me. It takes away the manipulation, and it takes away someone trying to make you do something, because God doesn't make you do anything. He just invites you. Amen? He just invites you. It's like I've said many, many times, the gospel of Jesus Christ isn't for sale. So if someone's trying to sell it to you, you should just tell them you're not interested. It's not for sale. It's a gift. All that can be happening is that someone offers it to you and say, why don't you take this? It's being offered in grace, right? So that's the work of the Holy Spirit as a shepherd. He asks us to follow him. He teaches us. The Bible says, describes some of the ways that the Holy Spirit acts as a shepherd. He teaches. He guides us. He's a paraclete. That's a word that's used. It's the actual Greek word. That means he stands beside us, okay? He's our advocate. That's how the Holy Spirit works in my life and in your life. He stands right there beside you, and he says, I'm with you, man. I've got you. I'm on your side. I am for you, not against you. I'm going to walk along through this hard time, even through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to hold your hand, and you do not need to be afraid. You know why? Because you are a son of God. We talked about that a while ago, right? Your identity is that you are a child of God. You're a son of God. You no longer are afraid. There's no fear, because the Spirit of God leads us away from fear. When we don't have the Holy Spirit leading us, yeah, it can be pretty fearful. You can go all kinds of different directions. But you can be assured of this. When you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, he'll bring you to a place that is not fearful. There will be no terror. Amen? He does have a rod and a staff, the Holy Spirit does. And he uses that rod and staff not to beat the hell out of us, but he uses the rod to guide us, right? He uses the rod to direct our way. A good shepherd will use the pressure of the side of the rod and he'll push it against the side of the sheep just to guide him kind of back in. I don't know why I'm getting close to you, but maybe God's saying something. Maybe just stay the course, right? Get back in the middle, right? Just kidding. What I'm saying, though, is that there sometimes is reproof, right? Sometimes we stumble and fall. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we sin. Sometimes we find ourselves in a place where we're so lost, we don't even know how we got here. Anyone been there before? Good. Like 13. But, right, we find ourselves in a place where we don't know where the shepherd even is, let alone where we are. The good news is that he seeks us out. This is such good news. The good news is that he finds us and that he redeems us and that all he asks us to do is repent and turn back. Just turn back to me. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit too, right? The work of the Holy Spirit. John says that the work of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world of guilt. Anyone ever been convicted of guilt by the Holy Spirit? There's really some of you that haven't? Okay, because that surprises me. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Is there anyone here? Let me do no hands this time. Anyone who does not have a conscience here? Because if you do, if anyone rose their hand, you're a sociopath. We need to talk later. That's a real big problem, right? We have a conscience. We have a conscience because the Holy Spirit lives in us, and he tells us and he directs us. If we're in tune, we're not always in tune, but if we're following the leading of the Holy Spirit, he will lead us away from danger. He'll lead us away from sin. He'll lead us away from temptation. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Thank you, God. Okay, I'm going to end, but I want you to go back just one more time. Bear with me here. I want you to spend one more time with me in Psalm 23. And I want to just point out one thing that maybe you've noticed this before or maybe you haven't, but I want to read Psalm 23 one more time about the Lord who is my shepherd. Everyone got it? There's something really, really important that you need to know and you need to see in this today. And it really fits with those of you who are coming forward to be baptized. And here's what it is. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Stop. So far, in Psalm 23, so far, the psalmist, the writer of Psalms, has been talking about God in the third person. Do you notice that? He. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He guides me. He restores me. But now look what happens in verse 4. Look what happens in verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head. Yeah. Why do I bring that up? Why is that important? It's important because God in our lives needs to move from a third person point of view to a second person point of view, where I'm not just talking about God, I am talking to God. Amen? See, you can talk about God all you want. And lots of people, lots of theologies, lots of churches, lots of religions talk about God all the time. He did this, he's that, he, whatever it is. But it's until you get to the point in your life that you say, no, you, I want to talk to you, God. Not just about you, I want to talk to you. You lead me, right, when I go through the valley of the shadow of death. It is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It is a personal relationship with the shepherd. Amen. And that is what happens when you come into water. Because what happens when you're getting baptized, whether you know this or not, you know it now, by the way, because you've been told. What you're telling all the rest of us is that you have a you relationship with Jesus. You can talk directly to him. And it's not just about him. It's not just a traditional thing we're doing here. It's not just a religious ceremony that we're doing. This is about you. You restore my soul. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You do. And that's what God would want of you today and of me. He just wants us to know him. He wants us to speak to him like a friend, like a shepherd. Right? You are my God. And that's what we're saying, right? You are my God. You are my Father, my Son, my Holy Spirit. And I believe in you. We sang it. I love it. You know, we did not sing. You know what we did not sing? We did not sing, and I believe in him. No, I believe in you. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the good shepherd. And we love you. And we believe in you. And today, we see some men and women stand up in confidence and in confession that you are their Savior and their Lord, and that they are repentant sinners, and that you wash them in the blood of Jesus. We're eager to hear their testimonies. We're eager to hear what you're doing in their lives. And we just know that today your angels are rejoicing, because you say that when one turns, there will be thousands of angels, myriads of angels, lifting up the name of Jesus, rejoicing because one that was lost, that one sheep that was lost, is now found. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Yeah. Okay, I want to ask those of you who are going to be baptized to come on up right now. And maybe just get a few people to put a couple chairs up here. We can just grab 4, 5, or 6 chairs. I think we're trying to make these people as comfortable as we can before we make them soaking wet. Come on up. Let's give them a big hand. They need a little encouragement. Thank you, Jesus. I got to tell you guys one thing, is that we did this 2 months ago. And honestly, the weather was no better than it is today, so there's a part of me saying we should just go to the river. I know. You don't need to stand. You can stand. You can sit. Amen. All right. I want to give you guys, you know, there's power in confessing. There's power in speaking things out sometimes. One of the things we really believe as a church is that you all have a voice. That's why we have testimonies on a regular basis. That's why there's lots of other truth that can come through the body of Christ. So it's encouraging to all the rest of us to hear what God's doing in your life. And I'm going to ask you to go first. Is that okay? Because I know you're ready for this, and I also know you're good at this. So, Tracy, why don't you stand up? Let's welcome Tracy. Woohoo!
So, you guys have heard my testimony before, and I became a Christian January 1st. It's an easy number to remember. Basically,
2018.
Yes. So, the Holy Spirit was leading me, and like Stan said, you know, it was that quiet voice, and it came to a point where I was just done with me. I was miserable, depressed, and he told me, you know, I've been waiting for you. Come and follow me. Everything changed, everything. So, I wanted to give you this verse. Crystal gave me this verse a couple...
I'm sorry, Crystal wanted to hear this. So can someone go and get the kids back in here? They need to be here to see this too. Talk slowly.
Okay. Crystal. Well, I can tell you about my daughter, Jordan. She became a Christian on the 18th, a couple of weeks after me. And, yeah. So it's a little ironic. Her name's Jordan. That's why we named her, is because of the river that Jesus was baptized in. So, yeah. So, but yeah, everything's changed in my life, my marriage. It's way different. It's always been an uphill climb. We've been married 22 years, and every day it felt like 22 years. Every day. But this last year has been so different. So my husband's not a Christian yet, but he will be. I know he will. So, so anyways, I wanted to share this verse that Crystal gave to me a while ago, and it really hits home, and I think it engulfs everything that, you know, that happens to us. So it's Psalms 107, 1-6. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands from east, west, from north, and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. And that's my life verse. And thank you, Crystal. And it's amazing. It's been an amazing time. So thank you. Well, I kind of, she's too shy.
Okay. This is Raymond.
I'm speaking on behalf.
My name is Karen. I'm just proud to be here at this church that has made me feel to belong here. Raymond and I moved to Red Deer from Calgary in June, and I appreciate this community, their support and their love that has given us as our time here. I've never felt so relieved to be belonging to a community that is so loving and so caring, and just been beside us through my health, his health, and I just want to thank all of you for being supportive for us. Raymond and I wanted to say this. You want me to say it all? We found this piece in the Bible that we wanted to say, and it's called Peace and Hope. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of the God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering provides perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, and hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, yes, who has been given to us.
Amen. We're not done yet.
I can't say anything more than what she said. For 2 years, we didn't know where we were going. But the Holy Spirit sent us here, and we are going to die here.
I'm not sure he meant that literally. He just, you know. God bless you guys. Roxanne.
I just wanted to say thank you to the church, to Pastor Stan, to Crystal, and to everybody that loves me and showed me the way. And I just wanted to pray right now. Dear God, thank you for loving me when I didn't love myself. Thank you for amazing husband, friends.
Yes.
And thank you. Just, I give my life to you, Lord, in every single way, in every aspect. And I trust in you 100% and more. My life is your life, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Anybody else? Okay. Let's get in the water. Let's do this thing. This is good. This is good. I want you, just like we've done before, I know that we have a lot of people here, probably more than we had last time, but come around the tub. Let's just come as one big family, okay? Can you hand me that when I need it?
Yeah. Can I stand?
You can stand wherever you want.
I want to get a picture.
Let's all come on in. Let's don't be shy. One great big happy family. You can get up on the stage. Let's just go all the way around. Hold that for me. Give me that in a minute. Put that in the offering plate. Jesus said, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Right? He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Today we celebrate with these five people because they're coming to Jesus, because they're part of the family of God, because we're going to be with them forever and ever and ever in eternity too. Tracy, your sins are forgiven. Your past, he doesn't even remember it anymore. Isn't that good news? Yeah, that's really good news. You love Jesus with all of your heart? Amen.
Tracy Lee Unra, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Woo! 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 Glory! Hallelujah.
You want to just say something, Elvin, about how long you've prayed for this?
It's been a long time coming. You know, I got saved back when I was 24 years old, 1975. So I've been praying for my daughter. I thought, sure enough, it should have happened sooner. But praise God, it happens when it did. And such a powerful experience, such a powerful, legitimate, authentic experience that Jesus has. So I give all glory and praise to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so this is Jordan. And I just felt like I heard God saying that there's someone here who has a word of encouragement for Jordan, or maybe just a prophetic word. Is that true? Is there someone here who you just, you got something that, anyone? Okay, Barbara.
Lord, I just see in Jordan, God, a leader. God, we need young people to rise up, Lord, and follow you. And lead their friends, God, in the schools and around them. Lord, I pray for Jordan that she will be a voice amongst her peers. Father, I thank you for the integrity, God, and that I see in her. God, I pray in Jesus' name that she will be a leader. God, may the Holy Spirit rest on her, and may she just walk with authority and integrity wherever she goes. Lord, thank you for this commitment that she's making today. Lord, just bless her and keep her, and may your face shine upon her as she does this commitment. Lord, thank you for this young lady. Lord, we need youth. Lord, we need youth in the army of Christ. Lord, we need young people. We need them, Lord, so badly. God, you're just calling for young people to make this commitment, and we pray in Jesus' name that you will use Jordan. God, you will use her mightily. Thank you, God, for her life. Thank you for preserving this family, God. God, you're so faithful. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
You are our future generation. You're the one that will take the mantle as we pass from generation to generation. And this generation is passing away, but you are the new Jerusalem. You are the new gateway. Watcher at the gates. You are the new disciple. You are the new prophetess. You are the new voice of crying in the wilderness for those who are lost, just like John the Baptist was. And you are the light of Christ. And you will shine forth like a city on a hill, not to be hidden. And your life will be very, very eventful, and it will be very, very precious to the Lord, and it will also be very, very prosperous in bringing those who are seeking the Lord to Him.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
So I'm just going to reiterate something that I said to Roxanne, because this is maybe important for others who are listening. This isn't Roxanne's first time. She was baptized before, and I'm going to be honest about that. When someone says they want to be baptized, I don't say no. That's something that is between them and God. But I also want to say, just so we understand, that this isn't magic water. The water is a symbol for the blood of Jesus. And that is, like I said earlier, He says, follow me. And it's up to us to do the following, right? To be listening. And I know that you want to do that. I love your prayer. And we want to pray for you today. And pray that it's all going to be done. The drugs, all of it. Right? And I guess it's okay to just be honest, right? The drugs, the guys, whatever it is, it's done, right? It's over in Jesus' name. We declare it in Jesus' name. We declare it in Jesus' name.
Father, thank you Thank you for a changed and renewed life. Thank you for blessing our sister right now, Lord. We just baptize her into the power of the name of Jesus Christ right now, where the power is to set her free for the rest of her life, to walk in the name of Jesus and to walk in the power that you purchased for her in Jesus' name, that she can say no to any temptation in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you're setting her free entirely. You paid for her freedom, and now she gets to walk in it in the mighty name of Jesus. So we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, which is the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yandara shikara mama mama. Yandara shitara mama. Yaweba shakara ba shikere riba shaka. Yes. Yes. Glory. Yes.
I believe that God wants us to pray for healing. Karen's been really, really struggling with her health. Maybe, Krista, would you just pray for her? That God would just set her free. This has been, you know, I'm just going to say this. You remind me of the woman who just touched the edge of Jesus' garment, right? And she suffered for 12 years. I don't know how many years you've been suffering. Quite a few. Right? She just had, and Jesus, when that happened, he said, I feel the power come out of me. So the power of God is about to fall on you. Would you just...
God, I just thank you for Karen. God, she's your daughter, and you love her. God, you are the healer. You alone are the healer. And we just, God, we lift her up to you just right now, God. I just pray that you will touch her body. God, that you will cause healing to happen like right now, God. That she may rise up and give you glory because you are the healer. So, God, we just lift her up to you today, God. And I thank you. I thank you that you have brought her to yourself. God, you have done this. This is your thing. And we just want to praise and glorify your name. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Father, I just believe, Father God, that you want to touch her right now. Father, fill her up. Fill her up with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Father God. We rebuke sickness. We rebuke illness in the name of Jesus. You know, I saw you on that chair, and it was just like you were reaching out, and you were grabbing this. Okay? He wants you to do the same thing with your healing. Just reach up and grab it. It's there for you. Amen? Amen. 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 Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Is God good? Thank you, Lord. Raymond, we've been so blessed by you working in the kitchen. I don't know, a lot of you guys don't know this maybe, but he's been such a strong rock in the kitchen. He comes to us as a chef. He spent a lot of time in Banff working in restaurants there, and he's been giving Kelvin a lot of help. You are a help. You are an encourager. And you are such a blessing. And we're so glad to have you part of our church family. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I wonder if Calvin could say the same thing.
I'm sure Calvin would say the very same thing. Yes.
Amen. Oh, glory. Yes. We thank you, Lord. Yes. Amazing grace. I say the sun. I fly in the I was lost. And now I found. My shape is going, my goodness is free. My glory is saving, it rests on me. His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. Okay, let's do it again. Clap your hands. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Here we go. My once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God. Okay. Which one? And like a flood. Amazing grace. One more time, my chains. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Woo! Give him a big hand. Thank you, Lord. Okay, this is Kevin.
Hey, what's up? I'm glad I came today. I didn't know you guys were dunking, and I didn't know you were feasting, so. Oh, I felt God tell me to get in the tub, so.
Yeah!
It's good. It's good. I'm mid-30s, and I I've been selling weed for 20 years, and well, that's legal now, so I'm out of business, and I've left that life behind. I was kind of forced to, and I'm glad it's over, and amen. I don't have to hide anymore, and I have a real job, and I have a Stan apartment, and I'm grateful to be part of a community and a clan, if you will, like a group of people that I can be a part of. And no, I was so isolated for a long, long time.
Not anymore.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Yes, Lord. I have a word for Brother Kevin, the one who was in water, the brother here. The kingdom of God is by violence, by force. It's meaning that when you hear the word of God, don't resist it. Get a step. Because when you get a step, God is with you. And I want to pray with you that God is going to use you in a mighty way that you'll never believe. And also God is going to be your provider in providing in your life. Whatever matter past is already past. Focus ahead. Look at ahead. Look at the Christ. Jesus Christ is going to use you and the Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Remember that in just a minute or two, we're going to be having a meal together, and you're all welcome to stay for that. Let's stay for the food and just kind of eat together as a family. Why don't you raise your hands to the Lord? Raise your hands to God. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior.